You got to be the right kind of person. You got to do the right things in order to have all that life has to offer. Now, what is that? A reasonable amount, even a large amount, of the things that money will buy. Now, money is not the most important thing in life, but it is reasonably close to oxygen. The reality is when you need it, there just aren't that many substitutes. I like the things that money buys. I like to wear nice clothes, live in a nice house, drive a nice car, take that redhead of mine on nice trips. I like to play golf at the country club, and every one of those things costs money. But I love the things that money won't buy. See, it bought me a really nice house. As a matter of fact, it bought me two nice houses. But it won't buy me a home. It'll buy me a companion, but it won't buy me a friend. It'll buy me a bed, but it won't buy me a good night's sleep. It'll buy me a good time, but it won't buy me peace of mind. And you see, those are the things that ultimately are the most important things in life. And it's the thing that everybody really wants, if you get right down to the nitty-gritty of it. So you can get just about everything on this earth that money will buy without any character. But you can't get any of the things that money won't buy without that character. That's the reason we'll deal a lot with the foundational qualities. And how do you go about getting all of those things? Well, you're probably going to need a new pair of glasses to get them all. A number of years ago, my arms suddenly grew shorter. And as a result, I had to go see my friend Bob Vodvarker, who was my optometrist at that time, for examining me for the new bifocals. Well, he did the examination, said, "See me next Thursday." In those days, you couldn't get them in an hour. "See me next Thursday and I'll have them ready." Well, the next Thursday I walked in and he put the new glasses on me and he did a couple of adjustments. He said, "Well, how do they feel?" I said, "Well, they feel good." He said, "Well, they look good. You're on your way." Well, I was only about 15 feet from the front door, and as I stepped out the front door, you know how you do, I kind of adjusted my glasses, and I headed for my car, and as I was walking out there, I think everybody knows what I was doing. Man, you're talking about a high-stepping dude. I was in a high-stepping dude, and of course, I didn't realize that until I drew abreast of the car, and there I was, my right leg up about 3 feet, and I saw the reflection in the window. Now, realizing how utterly ridiculous I must have looked, I couldn't help it. I just laughed out loud. I mean, that was the funniest thing that happened to me. And then I got serious. Because for the first time in my career, I realized the business I'm in. You see, I'm an optometrist. And what I do is I fit people with new glasses. I got you a pair tonight. Now, they're not rose-colored glasses, but they certainly are not rose-colored glasses. These are vision glasses. They're going to let you see things that have been there all the time, but you've never seen them before. Just like what was under the ground outside of Beaumont, Texas, as far as that oil is concerned. These glasses will let you see into the future. And as we get into the goal session that we're going to be doing a little bit later, you will see how you develop the plan of action to get there. But you need these vision glasses in order to get there. But these glasses are remarkable in another sense, in as much as they also are magnifying glasses. When you turn them around, they penetrate right into your very soul. They let you have a good look at you. And when you get a good look at you, you're going to like what you see, because you see, man was designed for accomplishment. He's engineered for success. He's endowed with the seeds of greatness. And we're going to take that look at you in a big way. Now, when I talk about a healthy self-image, I'm not talking about a super inflated, "I am the greatest" kind of an individual. You know, that's vanity, that's ego. What I am talking about, though, is a good, healthy pride. Now, there are a lot of people who mistakenly believe that man's fall came because of pride. Not so. It was vanity. Honest, legitimate pride is a very positive word. Could anything possibly be wrong with a parent saying, "Son, I am proud of the job you did"? Would it be wrong for a teacher to say to her student there, "You know, sweetheart, I am so proud of the job you're doing"? Or an employer, proud or pride is a very positive word. I'm proud of the steps that you took. Well, where do you get started? What's your background got to be for all of this? Who can accomplish all these objectives? Well, James Usher was born in Pontotoc, Mississippi. He's an African-American lad. He was born in a barn. And it wasn't a very nice barn. I've seen the pictures of it. He was the seventh of seven brothers. His dad was murdered with James holding on to his legs. When he was 12 years old, his mother died in his arms of cancer after a lingering illness. The last words she said to James, whom she called Jimmy Lee, 13 words that impacted his life in a dramatic way. "You my baby, Jimmy Lee. Make something out of yourself. Make mama proud." Today, James Usher is owning his own company. He speaks around the country. He's a trainer. He provides scholarships for those who are unable to provide it for themselves. A remarkable change because this young man simply said, "I'm going to do something with my life." Now, the rest of the story is simply this. His brothers, when James received three checks from the government upon the death of his mother, his brothers wanted him to cash the checks. He said, "Absolutely not." They said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, sooner or later, we'll pay for them." They would not even let James, who was 12 years old, move in with them because he wouldn't take the money from the government. For a number of years, several of them were on welfare. Today, James Usher turned to be a very outstanding prophet when he said, "Someday you'll have to pay for it." The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, is that we become dependent instead of independent. And he preferred independence. Why would he accept something from somebody else when he's capable of providing for himself? He was cutting grass at that time, making over $100 a week and going to school in the process. Now, what I'm talking about really is the fact that we have a philosophy. We have a young man who 4 years ago got involved in something that I thought was pretty exciting. He went to work with the Dallas Life Foundation. Now, it took him a year to get started, and by that I mean he was working with the homeless people. He installed this philosophy, Strategies for Success, that we are re-recording right now. And the first year, you know, you got to get people in the pipeline. But starting with the second year, 100 people every year have moved from street, no home, no job, to full-time employment. The concepts work. That's what I'm saying. It's not who your parents are. It's not what's happened in the past, but it's what you have been able to do. The success of this program has been mentioned on national radio as a model for other organizations. Elizabeth Dole has mentioned the program during some of her public appearances. The National Center for Policy Analysis continues to refer to our training program as an example of how private sector programs are more effective than government-funded programs. How effective is it? When you take 100 people off the street, put them into full-time employment, folks, that is effective. And I don't think I need to tell you, but the individuals who are homeless and on the street, as a general rule, don't think very highly of themselves. They have a horrible self-image. When you change that, you change everything about them. Now, I want to emphasize a point. When I verbalize something or record it or write it, it is only after I validated it psychologically, theologically, and physiologically. Because we are physical and mental, and we are spiritual.